You're listening to the Metamore City Podcast, special update number 2 for August 18th, 2009. Metamore City, a podcast series created by Chris Lester. For more information, please visit www.metamorecity.com. Hey there, folks. Welcome back to the Metamore City Podcast. This is your host, Chris Lester, and I'm here to give you guys another special update on what's going on in the world of Metamore. We had our pub crawl last week with myself, J. Daniel Sawyer, Rick Stringer of Variant Frequencies, and Scott Sigler. Seth Harwood was unfortunately unable to make it, but we had a good turnout. Fairly good turnout, especially for a Wednesday. We had about 8 other people show up over the course of the evening, and it was a good chance to just hang out and talk and enjoy a good pint of beer after a long, hard day, although mine was extremely intense beer. Let me just tell you, don't ever trust what a German beer company calls a wheat beer, because that was some intense stuff, let me tell you. One of the particularly snazzy things about that pub crawl was that Scott Sigler brought one of the proof copies of The Rookie with him. It was the first time that I had ever seen the book in hardcover, and he's got some really sweet special materials inserted in there, including pictures of each of the alien species, detailed information about the GFL, all kinds of other cool tidbits for fans of The Rookie. It's definitely going to be worth the investment for those of you who pre-ordered it. And for those who didn't, well, better luck next time, I guess. Maybe the success of this edition will convince some publisher to pick it up. No additional news on Things Unseen as of this point. I have not gotten a chance to do any additional writing since the training for school started up again. And I have been busy as heck trying to get ready for my 2 classes. I barely had time to get this update out, so hopefully things will get back into a more regular rhythm once the semester actually gets started, and I'll be able to find the time that I need in order to write again, because this book's got to get done, and I will be sure to keep you guys posted on further updates on that. Okay, and now we are going to get into the special bonus feature for this update. I'm going to be reading one of the short stories that was written for the Metamore City Interregnum contest. This story comes to us from Lotus, and the name of the story is Ink and Inkies. Ink and Inkies, by Lotus. The purring needle in her hand blocked out the music that always pulsed through the shop speakers. She wiped the patch of skin before her, scrutinizing the progress of the tattoo. The ink writhed sluggishly under swollen skin. She glared at it, trying to work out if anything was missing, and only glanced up when her canvas chuckled. She raised an eyebrow at her customer. His companion fidgeted, but she wasn't sure what her problem was. The young woman had been giving her nervous glances whenever she thought Kayla wasn't looking. Kayla zones when she's working, babe. Don't distract her. It ruins my view. Kayla rolled her eyes, but she smiled despite herself. Mikey just had that effect on people. He could be as insulting or crude as he wanted, but always managed to do it in a way that made you like him anyway. Besides, he wasn't the first customer to openly stare down her shirt while she worked. She usually just subtly reminded them that she had the sharp, pointy object at that moment, and the tattooing process could hurt a little more than necessary if they didn't keep their eyes to themselves. "Shut up and go look at it in the mirror," Kayla teased. She could feel Mikey's friend staring at her as she busied herself with cleaning up her gear. "I don't get it. How do you do that?" the woman asked. "Trade secret. Sorry, can't," Kayla began, but Mikey laughed again, cutting her off. "No, that's not what she meant, Kayla." He grinned at his friend. She blushed, but grinned back. She was asking how you managed to go the last 2 hours without so much as a blink to every trick in the book that I could think of that wasn't out-and-out rude. It was Kayla's turn to blush now, which made the incubus laugh harder as he got up gingerly and examined the tattoo in the mirror. She had to admit, when she was deep into her work, it was about the only time his flirting didn't affect her. I'm not immune forever, trust me, but you know I don't like mixing work and play. She examined her work, trying to divert her attention away from the incubus. Mikey turned this way and that to see the tattoo from every angle. The image of the two women, curled in a loving embrace. They lay in tousled sheets that blended into his reddish skin, sprawled across the right of his abdomen and then blurring out like the skin was the sheets. The pair moved in a stop-motion sort of quality that clashed with the fluid motions of the other tattoos covering his upper body. Flashes of the night played in Kayla's mind, the blood memory still fresh even after 3 days. He had gazed at them as he lounged on the other side of the bed. It was one of those rare moments he couldn't bear to interrupt by joining in. And then she was out of the memory and realized that he was no longer looking at the tattoo, but at her, and where she was looking. "Work's over, Kayla. How about some of that play?" She tried not to laugh, but the added waggling of his eyebrows pushed her into giggles. She stuck out her tongue and pointed at the spot in front of her. "Work's not over. I have to cover the damn thing. Besides, you're booked tonight." Kayla smiled and winked at the woman as she worked on covering the tattoo with medical tape and gauze. The woman seemed to try to relax a bit, but nervously fixed her gaze on the pictures adorning the wall. Kayla couldn't figure out what he was doing with such a nervous mouse of a woman. He liked meek young things about as much as the overly possessive ones. Mikey had been having her tattoo his favorite moments on him for years, and she'd heard him tell enough people, "It's written all over me. You're not the only one in my bed. You don't like the crowd, then find another bed." She'd often joke that she was going to scrawl "not for keeps" somewhere on him one of these days. When she was done bandaging the fresh tattoo, Kayla checked her other works. "This one on your shoulder is going to need some more gents soon. It's starting to get a bit jerky." She glanced up. The woman had wandered a bit, looking at the photos covering the walls towards the front of the shop. "So what's up with this one?" she whispered to Mikey. He flinched. That sealed it for Kayla. He'd been acting too cheerful, even for Mikey. "You noticed then, did you?" "Kind of hard to miss. She's definitely not your usual fare." "That's because she's not." Kayla raised an eyebrow. "Oh, really? Then what is she?" Mikey looked nervous. No, it was more than that. He looked scared. "Actually, Kayla, she's a favor I was hoping to ask you." She tensed. All the joke and flirt had gone out of his voice. It was very unnerving. "And when exactly were you planning to ask?" Kayla didn't bother to keep it to a whisper anymore. The woman jumped. "Never mind, Mikey. I told you I don't need..." She stumbled over her hurried words till Mikey cut her off. "No, you do need. Only other place available to you is Streetside, and you would last one night." He turned back to Kayla. "I was hoping your patron might help her out." Kayla's eyes went wide and she stared at the woman. "Don't tell me she's looking to get turned or something. No way, I am not getting involved in that. Mikey, what in the hells are you thinking asking me to help with something like that?" "Kayla, it's not like that. Look at her, does she look like a vamposer?" "Then what? She wants to be someone's pet blood doll?"
"No!"
The woman had hurriedly covered her throat with her hands. Kayla stared at her. The woman's eyes were wide and terrified. She was trembling. For the first time, Kayla noticed how well covered the woman had been for someone out on a date with an inky, and didn't like to think what that, combined with such a reaction, meant in scars on the woman. Mikey turned Kayla back to him. "She was a painter, but some unbound messed her up pretty bad." "And where is he?" Kayla asked, her eyes darting back to the woman. She did not like the idea of a stolen thrall in her shop, but she highly doubted that even Mikey could coax the thrall away from her master. "Dusted, I expect. How long did he have her?"
"A couple weeks."
"Mikey, you have no idea how this stuff works, do you?"
Kayla asked wearily. Nope, so I came to an expert. A couple weeks were early enough that it all hinged on how often she was fed on. Her reaction had been a clear enough indicator of what the feedings had been like. She sighed. So what do you want me to do with her, then? Your boss likes artists, doesn't he? Mikey. Please, Kayla. I know he's done this kind of thing before. Putting starving artists back on their feet is what your lot's all about, right? Renowned pastime of your virtuous prince. Why couldn't you have just told me to begin with? What was with all the pretending? He smiled. Because I knew you'd be mad and then you wouldn't finish my tat. Come on, Kayla. She'd be safe with you. And maybe you guys can put her back together some. Do you even know what the putting back together might involve? I wouldn't even know where to start. I'm still too new at this whole thing. Gods, Mikey, I've only been between for a couple of years. How different can it be from what you already do? Kayla sank onto her work stool and glared at her feet. Pulling memories from my friends to have a better idea of what I'm putting on them is as different from therapy for a trauma victim as it can get. I trust you guys. I know nothing too messed up is going to be stuck floating around my head for the rest of my existence. She looked up at the woman, who was trying to look at anything but Kayla. What do you think of this whole thing? The woman's head snapped up, but her eyes snapped closed. Kayla didn't want to think what had made her so cautious about catching a vampire's gaze. He said I'd be safe with you, she whispered. She glared at Mikey. He was staring at his feet, but he was smiling. Kayla snatched a handful of cotton balls from her work table and threw them at him. You suck, you know that? He laughed. Oh, but I think it is you that... Shut up! Kayla shoved his shoulder. He used that lame joke constantly, and she felt stupid for setting herself up for it. Sighing, she turned her attention back to the woman. You may as well go make yourself comfortable. My apartment is just upstairs. Someone should be home, so just ask where the spare room is and they'll show you. Second door on the right takes you to my office. There's some stairs that go up from in there to the private entrance. Thanks, she mumbled, and scurried to the hall. Hey, Kayla called, freezing her in her tracks. You got a name or what? Mikey touched Kayla's arm and shook his head, then waved the woman on to the hall. When she was out of the room, he lowered his voice. He didn't let her have a name. She said it was one of his rules. Kayla felt sick. You're sure he was dusted? She said it was cert. Kayla bit her lip. Mikey, if it was that bad, I don't know if we can fix her. Dusted or not, my sire's going to have to take her to our prince just so she can tell him who it was. An unbound that screwed up is dangerous. We'd have to be sure. Mikey picked up his jacket and winced as he tried to put it on. Kayla rolled her eyes and got up to help him. You're the only person I could think to bring her to. You'll keep her safe, won't you? I'll try, but I'm not promising anything. He kissed her on the cheek and left. She leaned against the table for a moment, thinking of the purse in the cupboard underneath it. Inside was the cell phone that she should be using right now to call her sire. He would want to know about something like this. She looked at the clock above her. It was still so early, barely 8 p.m. She hated waking him up. It felt rude. After a few minutes, she decided to call from the apartment and switched the front door's sign to closed. At least this way, she could give the woman a few minutes' heads up on what she might have to deal with in the next few hours. Mikey really needs to stop bringing me strays, she grumbled.
I am the dominatrix for this evening.
I started writing erotica to kill time in my ninth grade biology class.
Every time I sit down and start writing about people, they start having sex.
So you're writing for the same reason I'm writing. You're basically a pervert.
What is erotica? What are we talking about?
I know it when I see it.
Can you write a sexy story? Oh, hell yeah, I can do that.
Way beyond your ability to ever reproduce at home.
You know that nobody fucks like that.
Food porn.
emotion porn.
I have a friend who's addicted to it.
Oh my God.
About premature ejaculation.
Tentacle sex.
Well, actually, I know in my case that has happened a couple of times.
Holy cow, I feel like Tokyo after Godzilla came through and crashed the place twice.
I'm probably doing that a little too much.
It's because I am sick. No, the guys weren't into the monkeys. It was just the girls that got into the monkeys.
Hermaphrodite alien.
I have the world's smallest, most useless penis.
Okay, that's sort of like my real life.
I think the question isn't so much whether to do it, it's how, and when, and where, and why.
Do you write what you know, or do you make crap up?
Because I'm not a gay man.
So let's do that as an experiment.
Now I'm trying to get laundry done.
Explicit fiction that engages more of the brain than just the lizard brain.
I'm Helen E.H. Madden.
I'm Nobilis.
I'm Anne Regantine.
The URL is thegoodparts.libsyn.com.
Greetings, Metamorphs. This is Malcolm Oddvalos, and you're listening to Making the Cut on the Metamorph City Podcast. And here's your host, Chris Lester.
And that was Ink and Inkies by Lotus. I like this story for a number of reasons. One, I think that the idea of a magic tattoo artist is just really freaking cool, and certainly not beyond the realm of possibility in the world of Metamorph. Second, I like the fact that we're getting a look at a vampire who is within the power structure of the Syndicate, who is still a decent person. We've established in the past that vampires still have their souls after they're turned, that it doesn't automatically make them a monster. But then, apart from Morgan, most of the vampires that we've seen have been either thugs working for Malcolm, or, well, Malcolm. And let's just say that they are not exactly shining examples of humanity, and weren't even before they were turned. So it's nice to get a picture of a vampire who is part of the vampire community, not an outcast like Morgan, but isn't a total jerk or evil or sadistic. You know, Kayla's basically a good person still. And even though she's still responsible to a sire and answers to the chain of authority that binds the entire vampire syndicate together, she's basically trying to get through life doing the right thing. I like that. I like the fact that we're seeing that degree of moral complexity in the vampire society. I appreciate the fact that Lotus grabbed hold of the fact that there aren't any cut and dried good guy and bad guy parties within the world of Metamorph, not even with a group as morally shady as the Vampire Syndicate. The third thing that I like about this story is the characterization. It's not a very long story, but in just a small amount of space, she's managed to clearly paint three very different characters for us and set up the conflict between them. And it has an emotional resonance that I find really appealing. You know, this is a story that I want to hear more from. I want to hear the end of this story. I want to know what happens with Kayla and the Thrall. And Lotus has told me that she's been thinking about that and working on extending the story. And I really am looking forward to seeing the rest of it, because this is some good stuff, and I'm really liking the additions that she's made to the world of Metamorph. So thank you very much for the submission, Lotus, and I'm not going to tell you whether you've won yet or not. You will have to wait until the other stories have been aired. So that'll do it for this week's special update. I'll be back in another week to 10 days with another short story from the Metamorph City Interregnum Contest. If you'd like to leave feedback, you can call into the voicemail line at 206-203-0994. That is 206-203-0994. You can also send your comments to feedback@metamorphcity.com, or you can post them on the blog at metamorphcity.com. You can find me on Skype as CW Lester and on Twitter as Ethereus, Etherius. If you like the show and you'd like to support what we're doing here, please head over to metamorphcity.com, that's metamorcity.com, and drop a few dollars in the tip jar on the right-hand side of the page. Your fine donations help to keep me in food during the latter half of the summer as I was waiting for my first paycheck to arrive. And we are continuing to save up money for the Pod Commune, which will be the new house that Dan Sawyer and Kitty McKeon and I are hoping to get together. So your bucks will go towards supporting that effort of helping us to make a better podcasting experience for all of you. If you would like to give back, that's a good way to do it. If you can't give financially or simply choose not to, please consider leaving a review of Metamore City on iTunes. That is the way that most people discover the show, so it's a good way to help promote the podcast. I'm going to get out of here for now, and I'll see you soon. Until next time, keep it on the bright side. This is Chris Lester, signing out. Some of the music on this podcast was provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Some sound effects were provided by SoundSnap at soundsnap.com, while others were provided by the Freesound Project, located at freesound.iua.upf.edu. Metamore City is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Find out more at creativecommons.org.